The Holy Gospel is recorded in Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very time, Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. So, what spirit has been crippling you? Whatever it is, there's healing for you in the name of Jesus, just like there was for that woman that day in the synagogue. It says, isn't this an interesting phrase? It just caught me this week. A woman with a spirit that had been crippling her for 18 years. That day when Jesus set her free. Luke, the physician, by the way, tells us she was able to stand up, stand straight up, and take the Jewish posture of prayer, which is like this: praise God, that she hadn't been able to do for 18 long years. Wow. Well, so, what's been crippling you? It's probably not as obvious as this woman's ailment, right? But what's got you so bent over that maybe it even keeps you from praising God, worshiping God? Because no matter how well put together we may seem, we're all crippled with some spirit or another. For some of us, many spirits. You could call me legion. Things that push us around, whether those spirits are physical, emotional, relational, financial. I mean, even the president of the congregation this day in the synagogue with Jesus, even he was crippled, bent over by trying to keep all the rules, huh? You know, it's almost comical. I'd laugh at him, except, you know, I was typecast as a high priest in the Passion Play up in Eureka Springs. So there I was. I had to understand how he felt because I had to yell like he was at the people. But, you know, you can understand the need to keep order, but, you know, it's almost funny imagining him running around the church, you know, scowling and yelling at people, "Pay no attention to the man behind the portico over there, you know. You know, come back on a work day for your healing, you know." And all the time, all frustrated and bent out of shape by this breaking of the rules, so to speak, he misses the miracle right in front of his eyes. That on the Sabbath, the day set aside to celebrate freedom from slavery, remember, for the Israelites, somebody is literally being set free from her slavery. And bless his heart, he misses it. So what kind of a spirit has a hold of you these days? In a little bit, I'm going to invite all of us to come to Jesus for healing right here in our church on this Sabbath day, this Freedom Day. But let me back up with a little bit of history here. The ministry of healing has been a big deal for the Christian community all the way back to the time of Jesus, who commissioned the disciples, as you know, to go out and heal in his name. So Luke, in the book of Acts, told about Peter here and John, who encountered a man in the temple in Jerusalem. He was sitting by one of the gates, and what he did was he just begged every day, a man who could not walk. And instead of throwing a few coins that day, which is what he expected from Peter, Peter says this, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." And the man stood up, leaping, praising God like that woman, bent over woman. And isn't it interesting? He just lost his livelihood. You wonder what he's going to do next for a living. But in that moment, it didn't matter because he had been set free. Huh? And the healing ministry in the church has continued throughout all the centuries since then. Did you know, for instance, that hospitals have almost all originated in the church? Think about the names of them. St. Luke's Methodist Hospital, M.D. Anderson Lutheran Hospital, and all in our community. Gunter Rissi, in a book that he wrote called Mending Bodies and Saving Souls, The History of Hospitals, goes all the way back to the second century church and how people flocked to the Christian community because they were known for their healing power. Now look how far we've come. From the early days of the 1900s to hospitals like this to now, forget the science and religion debate. Our current practices of medical care are the result of the church fostering and encouraging scientific research toward better means of healing in Jesus' name. And that healing we symbolize regularly around here at Lord of Life in scenes like this, anointing for healing. Family and friends who gather together around a loved one, praying with the pastor or with one of our pastoral care providers here at Lord of Life, like the ones who'll be helping us with healing in just a little bit. Sometimes at the end of a bed, sitting there with your dying loved one as we anoint them on their way to their new life in Christ. Huh? Those are some of the most powerful moments for me in ministry and in my life, because we know there's a lot more healing that has to be done than just getting our bodies fixed, right? I'll never forget the scene in a hospital in Eau Claire as my mother was dying of cancer. With 20 of us, we have a big family, all gather around her bed with the pastor, singing and reading scripture, and each of us taking turns, taking the oil and making the sign of the cross on her forehead, anointing her for whatever healing she still needed. And let me tell you, there was a lot of healing for her and for her and my dad and their relationship and in our whole family in that month before she died. Another anointing brought incredible healing to Emily and I at another time. We were running our nonprofit Christos Ministries, and a major grant fell through, and we were in serious trouble. And we were in church at a church in Milwaukee that did healing during communion, like we're going to do today. And during that service, we looked at each other, and we both realized that it was like it was curtains for us. It was like, we're done. There's no money. We're probably going to lose our house. What's going to happen next? We had no idea. And scared to death, we went up for the healing that was done during the communion. And mostly to be at peace and turn ourselves over to God, you know? Or for whatever was coming. And let me tell you, I was healed that day. Because since that day, never once have I been scared of financial insecurity. Never once. Because it was revealed to me that God was going to take care of all of our needs. Not our wants, but our needs. That's freedom, isn't it? Freedom healing. So what's got you bent over these days? What's enslaving you, pushing you around? A physical condition, maybe? Or maybe more of a spiritual thing, like a spirit of unforgiveness. You just can't let go of somebody who did you wrong. Or maybe it's a spirit of unworthiness. Somehow you're just not good enough. Or maybe some of you kids get to the point of feeling like you have to be perfect at everything in school this year. You know, perfect at grades, perfect at sports, perfect at music, perfect in your behavior, all of that. Perfect attendance, I don't know. Or maybe it's a spirit of people-pleasing that gets you bent over, trying to keep everybody happy as if that were even possible, right? Or maybe there's a spirit of self-righteousness in you. Thank God I'm not like them. And that's cut you off from the people of God and from others. Maybe you experience and are bent over by a spirit of depression or hopelessness, sometimes so bad you wish you were dead. Some of us have been there. What spirit's pushing you around? Today, once you receive communion, we're inviting you to bring something that's got you bent over in some way and bring it to Jesus. Maybe this could be the start of your healing around that subject. No pressure here, only if you want to, but there are going to be people standing around the perimeters of the sanctuary. So after you come to receive the bread and the wine, feel free to go and line up behind one of those people out there. And will the healers who are going to be anointing for us please stand up now so people can see who you are? There's some. Excellent. And some of them are healing ministers all the time. So come look for one of them. They'll be on the outside edges. We'll even have one for the choir here. They need lots of healing. So there'll be. And if some of you guys are done earlier, you might come over here after they sing so that we can get through them. Yeah. And at any rate, and it's going to be real simple. You come to communion and you simply go to one of those stations and you can share whatever healing you're asking for if you like or not. You could just say, I want peace or healing. You know, and the anointing minister will anoint you with oil and make the sign of the cross on your forehead. And the way we do all the time around here with our little vials of healing oil. And they're a combination, by the way, of frankincense for openness to God and rose for joy. Isn't that cool? Ruth Penny makes those for us here. And so with that, prayer and healing and laying on of hands, come to Jesus. Because Jesus intends to set you free, see, from whatever has you bent over right now. And all you have to do anytime, any day, is bring it to Jesus.